if elected, what would your background and experience and skills bring to the table as a legislator?
Well, absolutely. My recent experience in Juneau is going to be one of the number one things that would help our district, as I have worked there for the last 2 years with Representative Peggy Wilson, and the experience of understanding all the internal workings and how the legislature works, which is not something that we see from the outside necessarily. And then just the connections and the relationships that I've been able to build there is a pretty huge deal for Southeast, especially now that we don't have the representation that we've had in the past. And also we have lost Representative Alan Osterman, who was a huge proponent and help to us in Southeast. So mainly my relationships and willingness to be part of the majority.
What would your top few priorities be as a legislator?
Well, to start off this year, absolutely controlling our budget and making sure that it is sustainable. And I believe that if the entire session was spent just on our state budgets, it would be a successful session. So besides that, primarily I would like to focus on making sure we're encouraging businesses, not only the ones that we already have here in our state, but bringing in new business, because the business community is what provides the jobs that we all depend on. So that is really my primary focus after the budget, especially this next year.
Are there any specific capital projects in the district that you have your eye on?
Just the ones that would be the priorities for each part of the district. So with Ketchikan, so far it's the SIPO Swan Lake Intertie, which will help all of the Wrangell and Ketchikan portion of the district. But no, I wouldn't have any specific myself. It would be what the communities bring forward to me.
How would you approach being effective as a new legislator?
Well, again, it would go back to the relationships that I've been able to build with the representatives that are there and are going to be back again. And I've spoken with a number of them just since my election as the Republican in the primary, and made sure that I'm reaching out, and a number of them have reached out to me too. So I think the relationship building is really the number one thing of what is most important in Juneau, and again, making sure that you're willing to be part of the majority.
Are you interested at all in sort of building a bipartisan coalition or working on that?
There is the Bush Caucus, and that is bipartisan, and absolutely I would be part of that and have been asked to join it and have some discussions on that.
Wrangell is, of course, trying to grow its marine industry, boat repair and things like that with the Marine Service Center. How would you promote that and help it grow from your position as legislator?
Well, first of all, we need to finish it, and I think it's getting very close to being finished. But promoting it throughout, especially the legislators who are more part of the Arctic and Bristol Bay and that area, and making sure they realize what we have going on down here, not only in here, but also between this marine area and in Ketchikan Shipyard, between the two of them, we should be able to do quite a bit of repair and boat building for that part of the state, which is a huge amount of it. I'm going to be coming out in the next, I think it's up in the next 5 to 10 years, where they have to replace a huge amount of the Bering fleet. And so between these two marine areas that we have going, I think it'll be huge. And so making sure that those legislators understand what we have available here within our state, instead of those boats having to go out, and also with the Arctic infrastructure that's going to be coming online and needing to be built up there, again, reaching out to all of those legislators and making sure they realize that we have this opportunity down in Southeast and within our own state. And also, again, the LNG and oil, all of those. And that has been happening somewhat. There's been some reach out, but not nearly, I don't think, as much as could be, that they realize what we do have available to help all those industries within our state.
There are some concerns that education funding and the education funding formula is sort of shifting towards the rail belt. How would you sort of ensure that the schools here are getting what they need?
Well, that is a huge issue, and it's something that actually came up in this last session, and Representative Peggy Wilson is extremely knowledgeable about that and helped with the current funding structure that is in place. And so it is something that we absolutely have to keep an eye on, and I will be utilizing all resources that I can to make sure I understand exactly how that formula works in any little button that is pushed in it, because you push a button here and it actually affects another portion there. And it is a huge issue that we will have to keep an eye on throughout all the Southeast. And I would absolutely use all resources I can, including past legislators such as Rep. Wilson, who is very knowledgeable, as I said, about that. And to anybody that we have in Ketchikan and in Wrangell as well that understands those formulas, I am that's one thing I am not afraid about asking for help on, because that is a huge issue for all of our schools.
Do you want to talk about any personal connections you have to Wrangell?
Absolutely. My husband and I have owned and operated the Ready Mix that's here. It's actually called Stikine Ready Mix, although a lot of people call it Wrangell Ready Mix. We've been operating that for about 20 years now here in Wrangell. We have our property out past the golf course in the industrial area. And then we've also worked in Wrangell with one of our other businesses quite a bit, which is Ketchikan Ready Mix, where we've done projects around Wrangell and then Zirimbo, Edelin quite a lot. But specifically, we have Stikine Ready Mix. And then we have another business. It's called Critter Enterprises, where we get sand and gravel off the Stikine River. And we've been doing that as well for about 20 years. We originally started out by the ferry terminal. It got to be too small of an area, and it was too noisy to be in that particular part of town. And so that's how we worked with the city in getting the industrial area out towards past the golf course. And so we have been very involved in the community, and we try to employ as many people here as we can whenever we have a project here. It is just it's just not only good business, but then the people are home, and they're not you're not trying to have them go out on projects a long way from home. They can be home at night. So we do everything that we can locally here, yes. And so I think I do have a very good connection to this community. And it's not, obviously, we're not going to just get up and run at any time soon. So, yes, I think that will be a huge difference between my campaign and my opponents, is that I do have that definite connection here. And as I said, we won't be leaving anytime soon.
How would you promote resource development in the area while balancing that with environmental concerns?
Well, all of our resources, I think, need to continue to be developed in a safe, environmentally safe manner, but also taking into consideration that we do have to provide jobs, and our state is about resources. We're totally a resource state. And so it's very important that we continue to do everything we can as communities, as individuals, and on our state and federal levels in trying to get our timber industry going again. It certainly will not be to the level that we've had in the past, but if we can get any of these little timber sales that have been pending and pending and pending back on track, that provides a lot of jobs. And also the other resources, mining, and that's getting to be a little controversial. There have been some issues, but overall, when you look at how many mines are operating in BC and have operated here, in Wrangell over the years, it's pretty rare that there have been issues. So everything that we do, we have to look at the consequences of other industries that it could affect. And I think between the governor's office and the state officials that we will be keeping a very close eye on any mining issues in BC. And just continuing to develop all resources, as you've mentioned, in an environmentally safe manner is a huge component of our economy in Southeast, in our entire state.
So to follow up on what you said about the transboundary mining, Wrangell's Borough Assembly decided to send a letter to Alaska's congressional delegates just sort of expressing concern over any mines across the border, specifically up the Stikine, of course. So what do you think of that, reaching out to the congressional delegates?
Oh, I think that was absolutely the perfect thing to do. And I think they need to continue to follow up and not just assume that since that letter got there that things are being worked on or worked out. There needs to be continual. We need to keep our eyes continually on what is going on there and making sure that it doesn't get put on the back burner, and not only in the congressional office, but also whatever the governor's office can do. And our local representatives don't always have as much push, but certainly keep an eye on it and make sure that we are doing everything we can to ensure that things are being done environmentally safe and they're not going to affect our country.
How would you protect and or improve transportation in Southeast Alaska?
Well, the Alaska Marine Highway, of course, is huge. It is our lifeline throughout the entire district. And it's to the point where the other legislators do not understand it. And I don't believe that they even have a desire to try to understand it. It doesn't affect them. They don't think. I mean, it absolutely does affect a lot of the districts up north, but they don't see it as something that affects them. So I think that we as legislators have to continue to inform and make sure that they understand how very important it is. It is our lifelong along all of Southeast, whether it's just as a travel or as freight coming into the communities. And I don't have a lot of hope that they're going to suddenly start understanding it. They haven't for the last 20, 25 years. And it hasn't been such a big deal in the past because we've had money to be able to put to it. So they haven't thought too much of it. Now, when the budgets are getting tighter, they're really going to be scrutinizing it. So it's going to be important for us to do and be supportive of the DOT in some of the cost measures that they're trying to make, but it has to be in the best interests of our public that is using them. So, you know, it's essential, absolutely essential. So it's a huge issue and one of the number one priorities that we as legislators in Southeast need to be watching and doing everything we can to keep track of. And I do want to point out, and maybe you guys have indicated this on the radio station, but the Alaska Marine Highway does have their summer 2015 schedule out now for review. And so it's there for people to comment on, take a look at, see what they do or do not like about it. And that's important also.
I wanted to ask you about the three ballot initiatives that are on the upcoming ballot. What do you think?
Well, we're at number two now, right? Number two is the marijuana initiative, and I do not support that. I don't believe that it's in the best interest of Alaskans. I think it would be a mistake. There's such a lack of quality and regulatory control that I think it will just make it a free-for-all. What I've seen, there's the strength of the THC drug that is a part of marijuana is becoming just very, very strong. And I think a lot of people that have used it over the years legally, because it is legal in our state right now, don't realize that the new and improved marijuana is getting to be so strong and actually does have some pretty huge effects on people. So I do not support it, and I think it would be gambling not only with our people's future, but with our children's future, because it'll be something that they think is okay. Oh, and then on to number three, which is the minimum wage. This is not one that I support either. As a business person, I do not like the government telling me what I need to pay someone or when I need to give them a raise. And I think it's important to remember that this is just a base, and it's there because if we didn't have a base wage, then there would certainly be businesses that would be paying much lower wages. So I think that's one thing that kind of gets lost in the rhetoric of this, that it is a base, and it doesn't mean that every person that we're employing is going to be making that wage. And I think one of the things that is huge is that by increasing this minimum wage, it may very well be that we end up, smaller businesses end up having to do away with fringe benefits that they currently are able to offer. So it may be that they can't offer insurance any longer, or they might not be able to offer a retirement plan. And I think those are huge benefits that people count on, and that this could make a difference, especially small businesses in that way. And then one other thing that I think with increasing the minimum wage, is it in a business that, of course, increase is going to be passed on to the consumer. And so that wage increase will now be just increase price of the product. And the person that is the very low wage earner is now making a dollar more, but they are now spending that additional money in the products that they use every day. And it is also has the potential to bump them into a higher tax bracket. And again, they are not only making a little bit more, but now they're paying more in taxes and paying more in products. And so actually will be making less than they were before their wage increased. So that's my reason that I don't support the minimum wage. And on the fourth initiative, the Pebble Initiative, I really do not think that we want to have government involved, and especially the legislature involved in deciding after a project has gone through a regulatory process, and if it has passed the regulatory process, then having the ability for the legislature to kibosh that process, because what's the point of having a process to begin with? And it's not that I think that Pebble should or shouldn't go forward, but I do think we need to follow the process that we've had in place and not start making new ones just because of one project.
Can you talk about what you would do to promote the fishing industry, the seafood industry?
I think as a state that we need to continue to manage the fisheries through science, absolutely, and not through any kind of politics. It certainly needs to be protected. I don't know that we need to be implementing any new rules or laws. We seem to be doing pretty well on the fishing level. I think that we, if there are issues that come up and they can't be resolved either between the various fishing groups or something that is suddenly going to affect the fisheries, then it certainly needs to come before us, and we would do everything we can to make sure that we protect that fishery. It is one of our top employers and top economic drivers of our state, and especially Southeast communities.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Not any huge issues, other than I think a big difference in my campaign is that I have been in private sector small business my entire life, other than these last 2 years working for Peggy. And I do have the hands-on experience and understand how budgets work, how the economy affects business, and in all businesses and across all banks. So I think that is huge to understand, that I have that understanding.